Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
So again, back to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. There is verily, this means truly. Every time the word verily is put there, this means he knows you're going to have trouble believing this. So he's just putting a little exclamation point here. This is true. I'm not lying to you. It's true. Amen. There is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. In verse 22, it talks, or let's see, yeah, verse 22, but it says, by so much was Jesus made surety of a better covenant. That covenants aren't equal. The Old Testament covenant was weak and unprofitable. It didn't make anything perfect, but the bringing in of a better covenant did. Jesus instituted a better testament, a better covenant. In chapter 8, I'm just going through this quickly. I've got to hurry up, but it says, he starts talking about that we now have a high priest in verse 3 that is offering gift and sacrifices. And in verse 6 he says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. More excellent than what? More excellent than Moses. More excellent than the Old Testament law. A better testament, a better covenant. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Again, the whole book of Hebrews is to get you out of the Old Testament law, the Old Testament mindset of having to please God and appease God by your own goodness and holiness. The Old Testament law was based on your performance. The New Testament grace is based on faith in what Jesus did for you. The New Testament is better. It's better promises. It's a better covenant. It's better in every way. Don't go back to the old. Man, these are the points that he's trying to make. In verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. So this is Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it prophesied the end of itself. It prophesied something better was coming. And here is Jeremiah, the prophet, prophesying about the new covenant that you and I should be living under. God is extending it toward us, but most of us are still trying to relate to Him based on the old covenant. So here's a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31. And I already read verse 8. In verse 9 it says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. That's talking about the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments that were given in Exodus chapter 20. It's not according to that covenant when I led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. In other words, the Old Testament covenant was voided not by God but by us. None of us kept it. We broke it. And so instead of the blessing of the Old Testament law coming on us, the only thing that we deserved was the curse. And so God brought in a new covenant that wouldn't have a curse associated with it. Man, that's good. So in verse 10 it says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. This is just an old English way of saying that you aren't going to have to learn about God intellectually. It's going to be a revelation to your heart. God is going to reveal it directly. Everyone who is truly born again will know God for themselves. You won't have to take my word for it. God will come live on the inside of you and reveal these things. You'll know it on a heart level. It's a revelation that comes directly to you, not something you just learn. That's what he's talking about. And then in verse 12 he says, for I will be merciful. Is that where I quit reading? Yep. In verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. That's the new covenant. That God has totally paid for your sins. He's merciful to your unrighteousness. And your sins and iniquities He will remember no more. Not only up until the time you got born again, but God dealt with all of your sins. Even the ones that you haven't committed yet have already been forgiven. He's merciful to you, and He is not holding your sins against you. When you come before the Lord saying, oh God, I failed you so badly. Oh God, how could you love me? Don't look at me in that tone of voice as if you've never done this. You know, I remember a time in Vietnam where I had just gotten turned on to the Lord. I was so passionate. I made a promise. I'd witnessed to every person I ever saw, which can't happen. But that's how passionate I was. I wanted to witness to every person, and I tried, and I got in a lot of trouble. But I failed. And I got so disappointed with myself. I remember saying, God, how could you love me? I don't love me. I didn't. And I just said, God, I know you're going to put me on a shelf. You've got to move past me because I'm so vile and I can't keep my commitments. And I just was feeling so ungodly, like, oh, God, how could you ever love me? You know what that was? That was Old Testament law mentality, feeling like I had to earn the things of God. I wasn't approaching into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I thought it had to be by me doing everything right. And because of it, I was living under guilt and condemnation. I thought God was holding my failures against me. And if you don't have absolute, total boldness, I mean, if you were approaching into the Holy of Holies, and if an angel, if Michael stood in your way and challenged you, and if you didn't have, I mean, absolute boldness to say, I command you in the name of Jesus to get out of my way, then you don't understand what Jesus has done for you. What you've got is greater than what Michael the archangel had. You've got more authority and power. There is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God. You've been forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future. And if you go out tomorrow and blow it big time, you still can enter right into the Holy of Holies and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Boy, that's good news. That's nearly too good to be true news. That sounds like the gospel. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. There's no more memory. God's not bringing your sins up. There are some of you that are going back and, oh, I had this happen to me when I was younger and I failed. And you are here 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, still suffering and bearing about the scars of all that have happened because you've never got out of the flesh and into the Spirit where you've been sanctified and perfected forever. You aren't worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You're still out there in the outer court. You know, this illustration I gave of the tabernacle last night that showed the outer court and then the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. You remember that? Have you got that, Carol? Can you put that up? You know, this is not only symbolic of entering into the Holy of Holies where God dwells, but you could use this as an illustration of spirit, soul, and body. The outer court is like our physical body. It's the part that you see. Then there's the inner part, the holy place. That would be comparable to our soul. And then the innermost part is the spirit realm. The spirit is the part that is changed. The spirit is where God dwells. The spirit is perfect, sanctified, and perfected forever. But very few of us get into the spirit. We stay out in the outer court, either in the total physical realm or at the very best in the soulish realm, in our emotions, how we feel, and very few people live in the spirit and in the spiritual part of them who they are. Boy, that's a perfect illustration of spirit, soul, and body as well as it is how to enter into the presence of God. But see, God is now totally forgiven you. Your spirit is sanctified and cleansed. And if you're going around feeling unworthy because you've sinned and done all of these things, then you are in the soulish, physical, natural realm. You haven't entered into the Holy of Holies. You aren't in the spirit. Because he said he'll be merciful to our unrighteousness, our sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. And look at this in verse 13. In that he saith a new covenant, He hath made the first old. That's what we started with over here in chapter 10, verse 20. That we are entering by a new and living way. The very fact that he said that there is a new way, that makes the old way old. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. If you look this word up in the Greek, it means it is ready to be obliterated, demolished, just as if it had never happened. Brothers and sisters, we are not supposed to be living under the old covenant mentality of I've got to do this and then God will do this. I've got to please God and I've got to live holy before God will move in my life. If you are thinking that way, you are under the old covenant law that I have used. I don't even know how many scriptures, at least 50 probably today, showing you that the old covenant was temporary. Galatians chapter 3 says this, that we were shut up under the law. It was only temporary until faith should come. But once that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. There's just so many scriptures that go along with this. I've used dozens and dozens and dozens of scriptures to say that this Old Testament law mentality to where you've got to be holy for God to move in your life was an old covenant mindset. And yes, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about it under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, we have a better testament, a better promise, better promises. The old covenant has been disannulled. We got a different priesthood, so we've got to have a different command. We've got a new covenant, a new way of relating. We enter now into the very presence of God boldly by the blood of Jesus through His veil, because we have a new priest. We don't have an Old Testament priest that had to offer sacrifices for his own sins. We've got a sinless, perfect priest who didn't have to offer sacrifice for himself. He offered himself for us, and he now lives to make intercession for us. We can have boldness to enter right into the very presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-153 titled, The Law Has Power, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith and we have Bible college students and people there praying and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place. And I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.